shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know in your word you said that the good man of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have been ready for him. And we know, Lord, in this day that is no excuse, absolutely none, that people should waste their time and not be ready, because we should be ready at any time in this hour, be prepared fully for whatever exigency comes upon the earth, and especially knowing that there'll soon be a resurrection and a rapture take place and a bride will be out of here. So help us, Lord, to be not be in that careless group who simply think, well, maybe we can be ready, maybe as we get a little hint of something coming, a thief or here, some disturbance in the neighborhood, we could possibly then be ready. But we know that when that word comes that some disturbance has occurred in the neighborhood, it could be too late, because we could be the ones who are disturbed rather than just hear a story of somebody else. May we take to heart, therefore, the seriousness of this hour and always be ready, for we do not know exactly when this is going to happen and that's going to happen as pertaining to us. But we do know that we are in that hour, that we can be ready. So may we be happy to be ready by the word that you've given us, by the admonition of those things which have been surely approved among us, and not only approved among us, but have been proven among us, your own vindication this hour. So we claim your help this morning, Lord, as we further study your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're still looking at the seat of discrepancy, which of course has given us many byways and highways to explore concerning the word. And in again, you'll notice we take great time concerning the twins, even more time than we've taken recently concerning Alpha and Omega, though they run together. Alpha and Omega, you know, is like the calendar, the clock, and the doctrine of the twins delineate the events and the conditions which are upon the face of the earth. And if you simply knew the time, it wouldn't do you much good, because you'd have to know also those things concerning the time and the hour in which you live. As Brother Branham said, if you want to know the time in which you live, you watch the Jews. If you want to know the condition of the church, you watch women. And so we have the same thing today with the Alpha and Omega doctrine. We know that from the scripture that we're in a wind-up. Nobody denies that. In fact, you can hardly pick up any rag that's on the market today, and you look at them and you'll see them as I see them. The globe is one, the star is another, the Inquirer is one, and then there's Examiner's another one. And you'll notice that periodically they bring out prophecy. They'll talk about Nostradamus, they'll talk about what the Pope said, they'll say Billy Graham said, they'll say what Edgar Casey said. I know, because I just picked one up to see what it was. Hogwash. But they're aware of it. They're aware of the Omega. They know that this is an end time. They know that things are coming to an end. And they're saying now the year 2000. Actually, chronologically in God's calendar, it is already over 2000. It is actually 2002 or on to 2003. Whether it's 2003-2004 with the seven-year discrepancy. And it's very strange, the other day I picked up a paper, and I don't remember what paper it was, and it said that, you know, your calendar's out 7 years. So science already knows we're out 7 years. Our chronologists know. Now, how do they know that? Don't ask me. Because they'll even argue that Jesus was even born. Now, if you're going to talk about Jesus, and you know today, it's you can't say B.C. anymore. You've got to say B.E.C., or BCE, before Christian era. You can't be a Christian. Now, you people here are a bunch of dumb jerks. You're not Christians. You just think you are. You see, the world's already told you're not Christian. There's no Christ. There's no one really born. You know he's really born. And you don't know that any record at all is true. You don't know that. See, you're just supposed to just sit around and, you know. Well, I'm stupid, but my God, I'm not that stupid. I know in whom I have believed, and I know my Redeemer liveth. They got trouble. I don't have trouble. You know, why should I endorse their troubles? I mean, they want troubles, fine, have trouble. I prefer something different, and we've got something different. So anyway, the world knows that they're in an Omega position. Now, how do they know they're in an Omega position? You know, you've got guys like even Rush Limbaugh. I don't mean even Rush Limbaugh, though he's some great figure that we, an icon of this hour, we should look up to. In fact, he's the dolt, and as far as I'm concerned, he's very clever with his politics, very discerning in many ways, but he's not very smart either, you know, when it comes to placing a lot of things. But, you know, guys like him are adhered to, they're listened to, and they make their mistakes. You know, he likes to purport to be sort of in a Christian era and understand Christian things, but he doesn't understand. He's one of those guys that I kind of believe has the Roman Catholic theology that if you believe evolution, it's fine. You can believe it as long as you believe God created the original germ. And so now you can placate yourself with knowing there is a God, but he's afar off. And, you know, you came up sort of on a great curve, and now you're at the apex, you're at the top. And but you still have to admit conditions are very, very bad. See? Now, he went along, and his understanding of Scripture is so gross that when people begin talking of the world being destroyed, he took the side of the non-conservationist to show that this world isn't going to be destroyed. Well, hey, look, you can cut all the timber down, like the Romans did in the people, with the Sahara Desert or North Africa was one time the breadbasket of the world. They say that lions roamed there, and elephants were there, and it was a bountiful field, and there was a Carthaginian Empire and all of those things, and it got destroyed, see? Well, he's trying to tell people, hey, don't be stupid. This world is 25,000 miles around, about 8,000 miles across, and it is going to get destroyed. Well, the people aren't talking about that. You're talking about the fact that said, he that destroys the world, God will destroy him. The utter destruction of this earth does not come until after the white throne. And then the bride is caught up to the heavens with God, and the people of God are caught up. And then this is gone into steam. And then it comes back. So much for Rush Limbaugh. I think if he stopped rushing around, he wouldn't be in such Limbaugh. He start looking at the Scripture that's true and vindicated. Begin looking around and see if there isn't something to it. You see, so if the world knows it's in an omega condition, but then it's not smart enough to go back to see the alpha, what produced the omega. They're not smart enough, and they never will be smart enough. Now, they're smart enough to know that certain things went awry. They're smart enough to know that certain things happened. And then they give their educated guesses, like, how did the dinosaurs get out of here? Well, it must have been a comet, you know, or something hit the earth, a fragment of something hit the earth and caused devastation. Of course, they can claim that from actual reality, that years and years ago there was a great meteorite hit America or somewhere in the southeast over here, and it caused tremendous devastation, tidal waves and everything else. And we you can realize, too, if they say Nile River never really turned to blood. It was actually an eruption from a volcano, and the red ash came and turned it to red. Hey, look, I don't doubt some of those things for 1 minute that you can pin reality upon natural phenomenon. But here's what tells the truth, this Bible. See? And the Bible tells me it wasn't the red lava that came forth, the dust that made that river red. See? So these fellas, they can understand there's a certain hour that we're in. They know that. There's no doubt about it. Like, for instance, they also know that they've come to the end of morality. Nobody in his right mind doesn't understand that. Clinton, it doesn't matter what Clinton does. No matter what his morals are, forget it. No matter what anything happens. Like they said, and I'll tell you why. He said he smoked a little joint, but he didn't inhale. Now, the last time I heard, he wished he had inhaled because of all the tripe they spread about him. Like Kevorkian, he killed so many, he helped so many people to die that when he assisted one man on a road, they thought he might die. He said, oh my, now the jokes are going to come out. This guy, he said, looked up and said, I didn't know I was in this bad a shape when he sees Kevorkian standing there. So Kevorkian tells a joke on himself. But you can see here where morality has come to. The parents, they went to the parents and they said, now look, how would you feel if you found your kids had smoked a joint? Well, they said, no big deal. Nothing to it. Well, now, Clinton in the White House, it doesn't matter what he does. They say, look it. And that's how he answered Mr. Dole. And he the issue was not his morality. The issue was, were there jobs created with or without his morality? Or they say, well, hey, he's got a lot of jobs here. And nobody stops to think. It's, look at how stupid can people get? When Roosevelt implemented all the things he implemented, that was already drawn up by Hoover, an engineer. And you think for 1 minute that Reagan did not lay the foundation for for Mr. Bush, and Bush lay a foundation for Mr. Clinton? Oh, come on. These guys are so sick. No office ever did anything to amount to Hillabees. It is an enduring, cumulative process over the years. It's going up and it's going down. And there's an accumulative process in the bride where the word has come back and we're going higher and higher. And there's an accumulative process in the devil's gang and they're getting lower and lower and lower. When are people going to wake up? So you've got a calendar. And that's Alpha and Omega. And you've got the twins, which show you the exact condition the world is in. Now, Brother Branham says here on page 27. And he said, now tonight in the days when we got this great discrepancy, Jesus Christ promised in Luke that in the days before the coming of the Lord. Now he tells you right there, and he's linked up with the scripture, the seed of discrepancy, which is the children of the devil. And he calls it discrepancy, and we found it exactly why he called it that. And there's no guesswork. And when Brother Branham used the term, it shows positively there is a difference between the two, not only between the two, but exactly how they got there, how they worship. Every single thing else is marked right in that word discrepancy, because it means different and differently. See? And that's exactly the truth. They got there. How did the seed of discrepancy get a word? It got it from the discrepant one, got it from Satan, the one in whom was iniquity, the word bender, the word bender, the word changer, the philosopher, the one who told you what it really meant when it didn't mean that at all. A lot of people still think God's so dumb he sends the devil on his excursions to show somebody something. He fell for the nonsense that he was a messenger from God. The fact of the matter was he was made to be a high priest but a high priest of discrepancy, because the stones weren't all there. Three of them missing. Faith, hope, and love, I guess. They were missing. But he was a priest. He's got his priests. He's got his ministries. He led in worship. He knows how to worship. That's why he gets a lot of people screaming over nothing. Benny Hinn go, they fall down, they start screaming to God. You bet they're screaming to the devil. That was the devil, that wasn't God. God healed, the devil knocked him down. Now don't tell me he didn't, because Brother Brandon said it's the wrong spirit. Tread on a tape. And he told me, he said, I could tell you where it came, but I won't tell you. I think he knew I knew. Lauren Fox. And Lauren admits it. He wrote a book. See the discrepancy. Right at the end time, the discrepant ones. Then you got a twin. The seed that isn't discrepant. As discrepancy does not conform, we have now the conformers. That's a good old religious term. They had conformers many, many years ago in England. Am I right on that, John? Conformists? Sure. What they're trying to tell you, they conform to the word. These other guys weren't conformists. They were discrepants. Discrepancy seed. Discrepancy, that's what they were. Seed of discrepancy. Changing things. Every time you find any people ever raised up toward a reform or a revival, it was always based on the word. Even the Mormons said they could take yours back to the word. Seventh-day Adventists, back to the word. Jehovah's Witness is the closest, by the way, in my books on Godhead. There was anybody outside the ones who really understood Godhead. And they said Jesus was a creation of God. And then by him all things are created. But they're wrong. He wasn't a creation of God. He was a son of God. And he was the start where God was beginning to create. And he created all things by Christ Jesus. Then men began to be born forth by creation and forming and molding. And Jesus was the one that was behind it all because God is behind him. And if God's behind anybody, hey, you got it all. All things are possible. As your brother Brandon could say, I challenge you, bring me your 25 worst cases and I guarantee healing, or just let's pray. 60% get healed. I didn't see one miss, so hundreds got healed. God multiplied the 25. What if you take 25 and you put it to the place, to the degree, the 25, let's say 20, let's just say that there was a huge, huge crowd went through, almost everybody you seen went through that line that night. But let's say making it come out even. How many times, let's see, 25 goes into 750, 30 times, right? Okay, so instead of having 25, you're bringing up now into an exponential curve again, up higher and higher. It's not just 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. You're getting it 25 times, what you bargained for in the first place. So God did a great thing, but people didn't understand it. They just bypassed. Anyway, we're getting into more of that as we get on the Son of Man ministry. But anyway, he said, we've got in these days the great discrepancy. In other words, the seed of discrepancy, now in its fullness, overshadows by far, and is greater by far, even as the Bible said it was, as it was in the days of Noah, 8 people made the ark. We're in that hour now, he says, when they come to full harvest. And now the reason I know he said that, because in the first sermon he said, you'll notice, he said, this parable is for this hour. It has to be for this hour, because you can't have judgment and fire without the end time hour. There's no such thing as in the middle. If you burned a board in the middle, you got no ends. It's gone. So now we're looking at the end here, to see the discrepancy. And he says here, and he mentioned twins in this thing, you got those that conform. Now he doesn't brush past those that conform by any stretch of the imagination. What he does, he puts it out there, and it's a mirror. Now, that's scripture, isn't it? But James said it's a mirror. Where's that found in James? Anybody got a better in mind? It says here, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way straightway, forgetting what manner of man he was. Now that's the ordinary guy. Now that's not bright. That's not the man of conformity. That's the man of discrepancy. That's a natural man. He looks in the mirror and he doesn't ponder it. He just takes a quick look. If I got dirt in my face, is my tie right? Has the tie pin on right? We're going to say, am I hair right? Have I got my mascara on right? And so on and so forth. Then, she's gone. Now, Brother Branham put the mirror out there, and the mirror was the Word. Now, he said, here's discrepancy and here's conformity. Take a good look. Which one are you? If they can't even see that man is a prophet vindicated with thus saith the Lord, they can't see anything. I don't care what they say. They see God. They only see God looking in the mirror, say, oh, yes, God did it, and walk right off. Right? Now, what kind of twin are you this morning? Do you keep looking in the Word, looking in the Word? Hey, I'll tell you something. The prophets looked in the Word. They looked in the Word. They looked in the Word and say, when is this going to come to pass? What is coming to pass? What do we do now? How do we do it? That's bright. Because you see, it's got to be bright. You know why? Because we are the children of the prophet. And what did they sow? Word. Now, if you're not a child of the Word, you're not a child of the prophet. And if you're a child of the prophet, you'll be a child of the Word. In other words, you claim you really believe this. Then when a prophet comes along, you've got to believe what's all there ahead, what the prophet tells you. They don't know that Brother Branham said so truly and absolutely profoundly and absolutely so brilliantly. He said, tell you, Moses never came and said, we're going to build an ark and flow down the Nile. Moses never took Noah's message. And he said Jesus never took Moses' message. And Paul came with a fresh message based on Judaism, but apart from Judaism, on the ground that God had turned from Judaism, or the Jews, the Israelites, to the Gentiles. He preached the book of Hebrews. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The book of Hebrews didn't do the Hebrews one bit of good. They didn't read it. Did me a lot of good, though. Man, the glorious things I see in there about this ministry. Approaching the Mount Zion, heard a voice from heaven, declares the truth of Almighty God, walking in the light and going on. You know, my. That's just marvelous as far as I'm concerned. So, all right. Here's this mirror that Brother Branham presented. Now, he said to the most of the people right there, take a good look. Now, he said, you're either the seed of God or you're the seed of discrepancy. Now, in the seed of discrepancy, you've only got one group of people. In the seed of God, you've got two. You've got the elect and the very elect. The very elect is the bride. The other elect are those who do not come in by the word. They're not full of the Holy Ghost. They're part of the cloth that the pattern was laid upon. They're that remnant. And there'll be far, far, far more of those than there will be bride. But Brother Branham said, they said, what's the difference, Brother Branham, between wise and foolish virgins? He said, no difference. He said, they're cut. They're the same cloth. He said, they're all virgins. But you notice, one had oil in the vessels. Now, what is the vessel that contains the oil? The word. So they did not have the word. Now, how can anybody say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and they don't have that word at this hour? Now, remember, the skins get old. You don't put new wine in old bottles. No way. No, sir. God does not put the Holy Spirit in an old vessel. No way, shape, and form. It's got to be the word for the hour. That's where the Holy Spirit is. That's why you're full of the Holy Ghost, word upon word upon word upon word. That's why the church has got the... why God himself came down upon the church and sealed the church in, because there's no more word. They're waiting for the... people say, well, the word is in the bride. And they're all puffing themselves up. They're going to bring something apart from Brother Branham. Gnosticism. Right back to Gnosticism. The twins. Gnostics. Agnostics. And those who really know their God. And how do you know God? You know when he's here. You're not just aware of him. Pentecostal meeting, Baptist meeting, Billy Graham preached, they all preached, they're aware of God. Oh, he's out here. That's great. That's fine. I can get changed. I can get this. Just hold your horses. They walk right off. Aware of God is where you have that knowledge of the Most High. And that knowledge was there. It always has been in every age, and they walk away from it. Now, this last age, you walk away from it. What do you do? We'll get to that, too. Yeah. It's a situation. So, all right, we got these seed of conformity, the seed of discrepancy, and they're right out there before us. Now, Brother Branham categorically said before that, he said, now, in this great discrepancy we've got, this time of discrepancy, Jesus promised in Luke, that's 17, before the coming of the Lord, that's Luke 17, the rapture and all, would be like it was in the days of Sodom. Now, watch in here. When the Son of Man would reveal himself, like the Son of Man revealed himself to Abraham down there, Elohim, God, made flesh among the people. Now, you got two things you're looking at right there. You're looking at number one, you're looking at Genesis 18, but you're also looking at Matthew 12. And in Matthew 12, you are looking at Genesis 18 in perfection. Because at that time, in Genesis 18, that was not the flesh of Jesus Christ. That was a human flesh made from dirt. Where Brother Branham said he took a handful of dust and he blew on it. And when he blew on it, what did he do? That formed a human being and a spirit came into him. And what does God do? God steps into it. And he goes down and confronts Abraham. Now, that's not the same as when Jesus came and appeared again as Melchizedek. Melchizedek appeared again, and that was in the flesh of Jesus. That was a born one. Jesus was born. God was never born. God cannot mature. God cannot get old. God cannot die. God cannot rise again. That's the biggest hogwash in the world that Jesus only tried to perpetrate on you, the people running around here that don't know split beans and buttermilk. What do you think God could die? I got more faith in Puss in Boots. She said to the ogre, could you become a mouse? Sure I could. Oh, no, you couldn't become a mouse. Sure I could. He became a mouse. Oh, she got him in the end. God died. What do you think the devil would do? Well, I can tell you right now, if God died, the devil would die, because nothing exists apart from God. Now, what happens to God? Brother Branham categorically said, God can't die. Jesus can't be his own father either. Talk about twisted doctrine. It says right here now, like at the time when in Genesis 18, Elohim came down. And notice, when Elohim left that body, the body went back to the elements. You tell me the body of Jesus went back to the elements, and I call you, you are sick. You are an infidel, you are Antichrist. Because he's my high priest, hallelujah. And I'm depending not on any covenant I've got with God. I'm not depending on anything that I've got from God or hope to get from God. I'm depending on him because he's the only dependable one that there is when it comes to me and God. So I don't count you as anything either. Just get out of my way. And you're smart to get out of your own way. And you begin to realize the covenant that God made with his son supersedes every covenant. And there's only really one covenant. And that's the one God made with his son before there was a speck of stardust. And every other covenant, even the one that he made to Abraham when God came down and swore by himself because there was no greater, what that covenant would mean nothing except the son raised from the dead. And Abraham came back because the son raised from the dead, because the covenant, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer my flesh to see corruption. Hallelujah. Talking to a friend this morning, I'm ready to scream and run if I got inspiration boiling in my soul, but I'm not going to scream and run just because somebody says something. Now, if you didn't feel like screaming with me, there's either something wrong with you or there's something wrong with me. I'm going to tell you flat. Either I don't know where to scream in the right place and you don't, or you do and I don't, and I do and you don't. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If it wasn't built upon him, I don't have any hope whatsoever. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. He himself lives by God and knows in a way that I'll never know him or have a part in him. But whatever he gives that son, I'm heir to. Whatever that son has, I'm a part of. So I thank God for that covenant. So at the end time, you notice how God came down at the end time? Yep, God came down at the end time. See, that's what this message is all about. God coming down at the end time, the presence of the living God. This is what the appearing is all about. I read it again to you. It says right here. Now you say, Brother Branham, I don't smoke, drink, chew, commit adultery. Fine, he said that, but that's not it. That's not sin. Those are the attributes of sin. That's because you got that thing in that makes you do it. That's the attribute of unbelief. That's true. If you really believe you shouldn't smoke, you wouldn't smoke. If you really believe you shouldn't drink, you wouldn't. If you really believe you shouldn't commit adultery, you wouldn't let your flesh take it away from you. It's, I can't do that. But I'm not criticizing you. Otherwise, I have to criticize David. I can't criticize David justly. He never should have done it. He knew better. He had all the power in the world not to do it. He did it anyway. You and God told him? He said, when did I ever not give you your heart's desire? Why don't you ask? And James brings the same thing out. He said, why don't you ask God? Why don't you ask? Get in touch. Get in reality. David was a prophet king. Type of Jesus Christ. Jesus had some pretty lousy types to fall back on, didn't he? Thank God it was just the type, not the man. Just something said, something in his word. He said right here, son, believe. See, if you believed, you wouldn't do that. That's the truth. Absolutely the truth. If we don't believe, we get away with it. Just push. You know, tempting God is a terrible sin. You think you can't tempt God? That's how you tempt God. Unbelief. I remember years ago, a guy told me that when he got born again, so-called, spoke in tongues, what have you, tobacco fell off. It was such a tremendous experience. He said, well, I could put a cigarette in my mouth right now, and God wouldn't let me smoke. So he put a cigarette in his mouth, he smoked. Been smoking ever since. Tempt God. Last I heard he was doing it anyway. That's Mary. He'd be dead by now. He's years older than I am. Yeah, he said, here. No, that's not what sin is. People, unbelief is sin. He that believeth is not condemned as already. See? That's just an attribute of unbelief. But if you can beat all that away from you, now get that all away, all your testimony, all your talk, not understanding grace, not understanding the forces of will within you, not understanding the power of God, not believing it. Like, how many really believe? He had not given the spirit of fear, but love and courage and sound mind. Well, some of you say, I'm going crazy right now. See, you don't believe the Bible. Well, I'm fearful, you see. Where's the Holy Ghost? He has not given us the spirit of fear, but a love, courage, sound mind. Not an insane mind, sound mind. What's a sound mind? The mind of God. How do you know? Because Paul said so. James said so. Two witnesses. Beat that all over you. Lord God, I believe just exactly what your word says, and I believe, as we preached last night, that the appearing of the Lord comes before the coming of the Lord. For just two different words altogether. See, now the appearing, as he promised in the last days, that he'd be with us. And what a refuge. That's from 2 Thessalonians, first chapter. You that are troubled, relax with us. And what a refuge. And they also, from the psalm that he read on the rapture tape. And what a refuge and what a consolation it is, Christians, that we can stand there tonight in the presence of God, in the face of his word and the impossibilities that he's promised in here, we can see manifested right before us. What a wonderful thing. Isn't that a refuge? Isn't that a haven of rest? So, all right, when it's time to rest, rest with us. What are you depending on? You're depending on the presence of God, himself, bringing his word, revealing it, vindicating it. You say, that's it. That's it. And you walk off. But you don't walk off as though you didn't behold your face in the glass. You walk off having carefully beheld your face, your position, who you are, what you are, and what God is doing. That's what you're looking at. So he said, all right, here, the Son of Man will reveal himself as he did down there. Well, all right, you know jolly well that Jesus is not going to stand here in the flesh. We get caught up to meet him in the air. So now you get to Matthew 12, where we have the very ministry of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, manifest in flesh, come back to the Gentiles exactly as he said he would. And that's according to the scripture that said God is in the prophets. That's Hebrews. And there's a difference between the prophet, the Son, and the rest, because he was the full measure, whereas they were not. Now, you see, he's talking now about Sarah in the tent. Reveal himself, like the Son of Man revealed himself to Abraham down there. God made flesh and dwelt there with Abraham and showed him, told him what Sarah was thinking, sitting behind him in the tent, that he had never seen. Now, there she was sitting in the tent. And he begins to tell the things God does to Abraham, what's going to happen. And he changed Sarah's name from Sarai, which is S-A-R-I, to S-A-R-A-H. He said, where is thy wife Sarah? Now, you notice that Brother Branham said, under the seven seals, the bride, it would get that new name. Now, don't run with this, because the point is, I haven't got a clue. All I know is that Brother Branham said, I no longer call you saints, I call you bride. That's not a change in name, that's a change in title. That's a change in the fact of where you have now come to, of who you are and what you are, rather not who you are, but what you are in the economy of God, although there is a who there on the grounds that the others are excluded. So who you are the very elect, and you are now designated the very bride. And the Bible said concerning that bride, the judgment is past. You have been declared the righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it in the first place. You never sinned. You were tricked into it. So now, therefore, what happens? All sin falls back upon the perpetrator because of what he had in mind, which is his motivation. And the motivation of Satan was to get worship and install his own priesthood where they could all worship unto him. And he would stand there like God. In the full sum of beauty, the full sum of wisdom, which is very transient, which is the tree of life. I beg your pardon, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In contradistinction to the tree of life. The tree of life is that little stunted tree. There is no beauty we desire. It's like a root out of the dry ground. Well, you look to be real old, 50 years of age. That's what Josephus' record says. You look like you're 50 years of age. The Bible also mentions that. You're hardly 50 years of age. They placed him not at 30, they placed him many years older. He didn't have any beauty that should be desired. The Mormons try to tell you he's very handsome. History tries to tell you he was 6'4" or 2", maybe 200 pounds, auburn red hair, things like that. And the women were attracted to him, fell over like 10 pins, you know, like the Beatles. Oh, God, have pity. He didn't attract them at all. I was around William Branham. I'm going to tell you, if a woman was around him to want him, that woman had to have a devil. She would have to have an evil, filthy spirit, because that man stood so perfect before God that you couldn't lust after that if you wanted it. And then the only people around him that really wanted him would be lustful, filthy people like a Scorsese writing some dirty, rotten, filthy Roman Catholic film and all the crud that goes with it. You couldn't. It wouldn't be possible. Not in the presence of God. I know it's pretty strong feelings people have, but you got to draw the line somewhere. Now, personally, I don't know any change of name. It's under the seals. But remember, the seventh seal goes plumb into eternity to the holy city, New Jerusalem. It may be there, or at the white throne, or the rapture, or whatever you and I receive or understand and acknowledge whatever new name we have. In the meantime, I'm not the least interested. I'm sorry. I am not. Why should I waste my time upon something I don't have a clue to? Except it's under the seals. It'd have to be under the seals, and the seals are open. Simple as ABC. Because that's when all the mysteries, not just revealed. Hey, listen, Revelation. All right, let's talk about Revelation just a second. Revelation is just what? Shout is what? A message. Great. So what's that do for you? Nothing. Let's get to the message. Now we got a voice, resurrection. What does that do? Nothing. Let's get to the resurrection. Trumpet, call the rapture. What does that do? Nothing. Let's get to the rapture. I'm trying to tell you something. It isn't revelation that counts per se. I can have all knowledge and have nothing. It's do I have Him? Am I a part of Him? Is it real? Have I looked in the mirror of the Word and said, shout, hallelujah. My, it took me years to understand the military command and to see the shout was Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, to see the subjection, to see the whole thing come into play. But I knew shout was message, hallelujah. He said it, that's it. No, you couldn't fool me if you tried. Oh, I'm called all kinds of things now. I'm called literally the ultimate of deception. I just got word on that. And I said, hallelujah. Here's the Bible. Stand beside me. Get your tapes. Raise your hand toward heaven. Come on. See, I'm not afraid. You know why? You don't have to be afraid. I'll tell you the truth every time. I'm not worried. Let's see them do it. Let these guys stop telling me they're intrigued with the judge. Let's find out about the judge. Let's know. To know God means to really know Him. You can't see Him, you can't hear Him. All you got's a vindicated word, and if you turn that down, something went wrong somewhere. Put it this way, something always was wrong somewhere. See, that's the way it is. Now, so all right, let's read a little further. It said, she's in the tent behind you. I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. And she laughed. He said, why did she laugh? Now, she said, He said, I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. According to the time of life. Well, you know, that could be simply that the woman had menstrual cycles, and then they're going to be restored because she's young again. And they're going to be as regular and at the same time they were when they ceased. I suppose you might say that. But I don't believe that for one minute. I believe you get a picture here of the Alpha, of the time of life, what time we're actually in, and what actually happens. Now he said, I'm going to deal with her according to my timetable, the tree of life in the garden. Because even though they'd partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it didn't say for one minute the tree of life died, languished, and was gone. See, there's your twins, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the tree of knowledge and good and evil is a pretty peculiar thing. But over here, the word good, the tree of life, of course, that tree of life, it signifies that it's living, it's refreshing, it's strong. As a noun, it means a living thing, a living creature. Within it, it has the words restore, make alive, and so on, and it is the resurrection. So the tree of life stood there with everything that God had in him for them. And believe me, when they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was a choice, they weren't abandoned so that the tree of life was taken away and now they're reprobate and they have nothing, but they look forward to the ignominious defeat in its complete entirety and from which there is no recall. There would have to be eventually then an annihilation, a deterioration. How far could the devil go and they go with him? See, it would become limitless. It would become a question in semantics, which are antics, what it would be, the question of antics, mental antics, which you can't have an answer to. You've got to go to the Bible. And in the Bible, we find that there was an answer to the tree, to the fall, wherein they were able to come back because that tree of life had within it resurrection. And you get right back then where Irenaeus said that God being a Savior, necessary to predestinate the sinner to require require salvation, to give God a reason and purpose of being. Well, if in the tree of life is resurrection, then God must require sheep that would die that he would bring back. And so the tree of life never did depart. The word of God never did depart. It was merely refused. And in their refusal, they could not undo what God had for them because he was in them and his word could not possibly fail, but it must come back. And his word that said to them, you must multiply and you will endure, you will have control, that same word comes back in the millennium. And they're going to be right there in a perfect condition. So that tree stood right there all the time. Now let's take a little look at that idea of good and evil. Now the word good can be used as an adjective, as a noun, or an adverb. It's all three. Noun, verb, and noun, adjective, and an adverb, not as a verb. So the word good means to be good by nature, inherently. And it also means to do good, which is to produce. So all right, in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there is something there we're looking at that is a good thing. There's a good thing in there. And by nature, there's something in there. And it can produce good. So that means it can produce a good product. It can produce it in a good way. Because that word means good. And you can't disassociate it from the fact there's a problem there. Now, it can mean a good thing, a noun, a good man, a good woman. It means beautiful, bountiful, cheerful, prosperous, precious, etc., etc., etc. Everything that we know is nice, relaxed, and calm, and joyful, and kind, considerate. Everything in there, in that word, good. Now, the word evil, of course, is quite a bit different, and it's a noun. And so you notice that this goes beyond the word good, because good is intrinsic, but it's also able to produce various elements that in themselves are also very, very fine. But when you get to the word evil, you're like it was where we spoke of in Timothy, where Paul said the love of money is the root of all evil. And in there we found the intrinsicality of this age. There's a root, and it's a love of money. It's a selling out for money. Preachers sell out for their pensions. The world sells out to the church. Everybody just sells out because that money's in there, that love, that drive. And every place you go, there's that drive, that drive. You see? So, all right. It's the word bad. The word evil, it means bad. Evil, naturally and morally. See? And it deals with, here's what happens with it. It deals with adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasure, distress, and misery, and sorrow. See? All of these depict that there's a destructive force there that can produce only destruction. And this is so because it comes from a root word meaning spoiled by literally breaking to pieces and disintegrating. See? In other words, it comes to the place where it finally has all got to fall apart. It's got to be judged. It's got to be destroyed. It can no longer be tolerated. Because you see, within it, it has this death, which is separation from God. The constant going down, 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 until it actually comes in literal combat with God. Not just the devil. Now, come on now, we're right into the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, where they come up with the white throne and they encompass the holy city and they think they're going to pull down God and every person of God, Jesus the Lamb, the Father, the Son, and all the sons, all the elect, very elect, bride, and the non-elect bring their glory in. They're going to come right against God. That's where they end up. And they end up in the lake of fire and annihilation. So, all right, the tree of good and evil. And you can see what that tree finally amounted to when the sons of light met with the sons of light and they began marrying and intermarrying. Now they're just all one flesh. They're no longer a race of lovely, kind people. They're warlike. They're terrible. They multiply to the place where they're like animals. They litter. Remember one thing that Eve did when she denied the word? The word of God said to her, your pregnancies will be duplicated, you'll be multiplied, and your sorrows with it. So there was something very bad in what this woman did, though what she did, she was created to do, and she should do, but she didn't hold her trust. She defiled her body. In turn, so therefore, in that very thing, you'll see turning. You'll find man has gone to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they'll produce many wonderful things, but it's all going to go right down into corruption. Because it's a combination. And remember, one rotten apple will destroy every apple in the barrel, but a million good, clean, wonderful apples can never change one rotten apple. Can't do it. So you see, you got that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a subtle thing. Right today, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil comes in preaching the word. Lots of love, lots of fruit, lots of gifts, lots of healings. Everybody shouting, screaming, glorifying God. And it's as rotten can be, and they're ready for annihilation. And the whole thing is breaking apart. World's falling apart, said Brother Branham. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can't mix it. Now, let's go a little further. We can find something here. Knowledge. This is to ascertain by seeing and observation. It's to ascertain by seeing and by observation. It's recognition, perception. Privy to something, to understand. Now that's why Brother Branham spoke of Eve reasoning. She left revelation for a sense knowledge. Didn't Satan say, look at it, look at this thing here, let me point it out to you. Said, when they saw the tree was good to eat, how can a tree that kills you be good to eat? They didn't believe God. They didn't believe him when he said, you can't, you'll die. Now, in the day of the eating thereof, dying thou dost surely die. It doesn't say the day you eat you're going to die. It says in the day of the eating thereof, dying thou shalt surely die. And every single age has had poison until this age, huh? Is that right? It'd be Paul's age, the mind was not pregnant with the word. They hadn't shut the mind with the word. It was not time for pregnancy to bring forth the son. Ever since then, there's been good and evil in the church all the way through. But at the end time, there's going to be a bride
that is intrinsically good. She will have shut her mind by the Word and been thoroughly pregnant with the Word of Almighty God so that no word can get in, and that's when Christ is produced in the flesh again, which Eve should have done, and she didn't do it. Didn't do it. If she'd allowed his production, every child would have been born right, every child happy, everyone glorifying God. No, she had to turn over the apple cart. She thought there's better apples at the bottom. She sure got fooled on that one. So, now the tree of life. Well, the tree of life, of course, means to live, to be alive, to be strong. As a noun, it's a living thing, a living creature. It says concerning the woman, concerning the man is plural, the woman is singular. Down the line, we can see God there, standing there as the tree of life. When did God ever leave his word? Now, let's watch this carefully. God brought these sons forth, and all these daughters are going to come forth. And he stands over his word to watch it. Now, when they went against the word, when she went against the word, Adam went against the word, what did God do? God had to abandon them to these things which they did not need to be abandoned to or taken from, because he stood there to watch over his word. And his word said, in the day of eating thereof, dying, thou shalt surely die. And we've had 6,000 years of dying, and even Jesus died, and Paul died. We only have a record of two people didn't die. As far as we know, that's Enoch and Elijah. And they typed the rapture. Even Noah died. Taken, carried over. Some people say Enoch and Elijah are going to come back and die in the streets of Jerusalem. I don't know if they're going to come back and die in the streets of Jerusalem. I got no word on Enoch. Brother Branham said Moses and Elijah would. That satisfies me, Moses and Elijah, but I can't for 1 minute see anybody quoting anybody on Enoch on the grounds that I don't know there's anything you can quote. So you just got to leave that with God, because all things are possible. So all right, here we're at the end time with these twins, and the harvest is complete, and the two trees in the garden. The two trees in the garden, though the garden was taken away, the two trees were not taken away. Those trees must mature. So the knowledge of good and evil must mature. That's exactly why John saw that city, Rome, and he saw the system, and he wondered with great admiration. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. The devil's an achiever. Woody Allen, they asked him what he thought of Jesus. He said he was an underachiever. And you know something? Paul was an underachiever. You can't find one person inspired of God who wasn't, according to unbelief, an underachiever. Even the devil said, if you're the Son of God, he said, do something. Do something. And Jesus said, I am doing it. Well, he said, not according to me. He said, no, of course not according to you. But according to you, I believe the word, and I'm just following the word. And of course, that doesn't suit you, because you see, you've got all wisdom and all beauty, and you left the word. You're the word bender. You're the defiler, because that's what it means to bend the word. How many of you bend the word this morning? I heard of one guy that he still believes 2 Corinthians 5 is the answer. There's no literal resurrection. You just get this body, you go to, and that's it. Brother Branham said, you get that body, you bring it back here to pick up your own body, and we who miss that body go up in the air and we pick up that body. Now, how in the world can he do it? You know what? Something's wrong. Now, if you don't know what's wrong, I'm not going to worry about telling you, because you should know by now. So the two trees are growing right together. And the two trees are both food. You can eat the tree of life, eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See? So here we are. And they're both together at the same time, and they're growing up. And one means the tree of life has expended itself concerning humanity and the world as we know it now. And everything as we know it now is now expended. If you don't believe that, then how come Elohim's come down, put everything under the feet of Jesus, everything but himself, so that he can reign in the millennium and then take his seat as the Lamb on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne? Maturity. They've grown up. And good and evil has grown up. You can't find the world except it's the most deceitful world we've ever had. And the rottenness, the more civilized, the worse it is. And you notice, it has become a religious situation around the whole world. Now come on, it's no longer politics. Now just read your papers every day. It's Christianity, it's Judaism, it's Muslim. Three biggies right there. You got a little bit of other junk thrown in. But it all boils down. The whole thing boils down to religion and worship. And we're going to worship God, by God, the way we want to worship God. And don't think we won't. We'll kill you doing it. If the Jews got to get the atomic bomb, the hydrogen bomb, and any other kind of bomb, and release it, they'll do it. Because they're going to glorify God, hallelujah. And those cutthroat Arabs, they're going to glorify Allah, hallelujah. There's nothing, another name for the devil. And the world goes on and said, well, you Jews and Arabs, you all believe the Old Testament. That is the first five books. You all come from Abraham. Oh, come on, don't give me that junk. The seed of discrepancy came from the devil, this beast. But if Israel's serpent seed back there, don't look for anything much now. 144,000, maybe what, 15 million Jews? So, Brother Bill, I heard there's 6 million Jews. I heard by the grapevine there's close to the 15 million Jews. How many are there? Who cares? It's 144,000 in the end time. So try to win them. Go ahead. Give your life. Be burned at the stake. Give all you have. Leave your family. Go over there like a... Well, that's fine. Do what you want to do. You aren't going to win them. Because God said you won't. God said 144,000. So don't be from this. It's going to be 143,999. Or it's going to be 144,001. Or a half of one. Or a tenth of one coming to going. 144,000, 12 from each tribe. That's the end of it. But they're all taught religion. The two trees. And you hear the Muslims tell you, oh, we're a people of love. Oh, we want to walk in love and in charity. Do they? And your Hindus? Oh, they've got converted too. Study their history and find what they were like. You talk about child abuse? Indian men, great big men, taking little 8-year-old girls as wives. Come on, read your history. It's been revised, so you don't even know it anymore. I said, I'm not revived, revised. And when they died, the poor woman, what happened to her? Why, they put the guy that died on a funeral pier, a pile, you know, brush and all what have you, and put him on the river Ganges. And the woman was hogtied and laid on that funeral pyre and set on fire, and she died screaming. Oh, that's nice religion. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. And it's everywhere religion. Politics be hanged. Politics is so little, they're swallowed up overnight in religion. Because the Jews have the paper, that's religion. And Rome has the gold, that's religion. And they've already gotten together, and that's religion. You better believe it too. But they're going to be judged for what they are. Tree of life, the tree of the knowledge is going to be there right together. Make no mistake about it. So let's read on. Now he said here, and I pray, Lord, a little crude thing, as I said, if I'm wrong, forgive me, pulling into gear. What does he mean, pull to gear? It means change gears. Gear yourself down. Fellow said, one talking to me one day, and I could not get a thing across to him. I said, son, I said, shut up. I said, you haven't listened to one thing I've told you. Every time I talked, your mind went into gear, questioning, and your mouth began flying open. I said, shut up and listen, or the conversation's over. Why do you think I tell you people sometimes to shut up and listen? You know why? Because you're not listening. You're questioning. Questioning. And you're not questioning in a nice way. Now, if you question in a nice way, that's a different story. You say, Brother Bell, I didn't get it. Tell me again. I want to get it. I want to get it. I want to get it. That's good. That's what I do with Brother Branham's material. There was a time I couldn't do it because I was scared stiff. It doesn't matter anymore. Hey, I'm telling you, when you're my age, you're gone anyway. Am I going to suddenly scream to God? Am I suddenly going to get converted? Am I some thief on the cross? Come on, don't give me that stuff. I'm finished with this world or with him. And that's all there is to it. No place to hide. See, are you getting excited? No, I'm not getting excited. What's to get excited about? You answer me. Tell me. What's your excitement going to do? If you get excited, that's the worst thing in the world to happen to you. Gear down. Change gears. Gear down. Shut up. And listen. You're either dead or you're alive. So shut up and listen. You run from a bear, you'll get killed by a lion. No problem. We're nice and quiet, aren't we? It's the way to be. Now, Jesus said just before this great discrepancy, the tares, they're gathered and burned, that the Son of Man will reveal himself in the same manner as he did back there. And, of course, we know that's Luke 17 and Matthew 12, Matthew 4, as he did then. What is it? It's lifting up afresh. It's lifting up afresh before you, bringing to your attention again, he says, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And hallelujah, they all scream, that's Mark 16. Hallelujah, you're all wrong. It is not Mark 16. It is Genesis 18. God in human flesh. God in human flesh. He said, do you believe it? It's a lifting up. Number one, it's a crucifixion. Because at the end time in Hebrews 6, and I'll read it to you and show you what happened to the one twin and what God allowed to happen in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so you begin to understand the fruition of that tree which they imbibed of, which means that's exactly what they are. They've got the good and they've got the bad. And if you're trying to tell me that the gifts of the Spirit are not good, they're of the devil, you've just lost your soul to hell. Because you cannot attribute to the devil what God's doing. That's what the Missionary Alliance did and the Nazarene Church did, and they made love to a corpse. And the Nazarene did it, the Missionary Alliance had to do it too. Because they frankly said, tongues is of the devil. The Nazarenes said it too, and they died. They're dead, and nobody ever came back. And nobody ever will. It's organized. And ever said, this is it. Especially what they have when there's no oil left in the Word. There's nothing in their vessels, and they condemn that which has it. Now it says over here in the 6th chapter, at the end time, it says, go to perfection, we'll do if God permit in verse 3, and God didn't permit it. But when he does permit it, here's what happens. It's impossible at that time for those who were once for all enlightened and taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, even the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, they can never be renewed to repentance. It's over, it's over, it's over, it's over, it's over. Now you tell me that's not a mixture of good and evil, and I'll laugh in your faces. They will actually taste the good word of God. And they've done it in the meetings like this, in Brother Branham's meetings all over the world. Spit it out. Deny it. As I said, I've been called the most deceitful. My message is the most deceitful at the end time. Of course, coming from the certain guy that said it, I have to laugh. He wouldn't know split beans from buttermilk. Never has and never will. Sorry for the guy, but hey, no animosity. It's just too bad he said it. Because these people crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Son of God, Brother Branham identified as the Holy Ghost. They crucify to themselves. They crucify themselves. They don't crucify him. You can't crucify spirit. They crucify themselves. The very cross. The very thing they laid out for Jesus are going to be laid upon exponentially. If you think the crucifixion of Christ was bad, and the crucifixion of Peter and Matthew and those others, and John boiled in oil was bad, you wait until the wrath of God falls on this earth when the bride's gone. The exponential curve, my brother, my sister, and don't think it's not. And don't think it is not. Brother Brian Kasurik phoned the other day, mentioned something I hadn't thought of, although I'd mentioned on different occasions, but not in that particular light. He said, wouldn't the exponential curve apply where the scripture says it come forth 30, 60, 100-fold? I said, it sure would, for the good and the evil. If that's not exponential, you tell me. That goes for every age. Every time there's an age, 30, 60, 100, 30, 60, 100, up, up, up. They'll gnaw their tongues in pain and curse the God of heaven. And suddenly they wake up and scream, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Completely betrayed and dying. If that should convert anybody. It didn't convert one of the thieves on the cross and doesn't convert the devil and his gang that come back out of the white throne and try to invade the holy city and take over the holy encampment, rather. That's what it says right here. That's your tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted. And it grew and it grew. Though it's the lowliest of all herbs in the world. The most unconformable to human nature and everything else. What people wouldn't want. It grows in the whole world. Just a little tiny herb grows into the whole world, the biggest tree. And the birds of the air lodge in it. Evil spirits and wickedness. Christianity takes over in the form of Catholicism. Beats the Mohammedans, the Taoists, the Buddhists, the whole bunch into dust. And they figure they're going to beat the Israelites into dust too. But they get food. Moses comes down with Elijah. And then they kill them, of course. No problem. But when the great God appears after the great tribulations, you watch and see what, at the end of the great tribulation, see what begins to happen. Oh, yeah. Now, that's what happens there. But let's just take a little look on our side of the line. What's with these seed of conformity? What is with these people? Oh, here it is right here. It says here, cease not to give thanks. Rather, not Ephesians, but I went over here. In 2 Thessalonians. And it says here, it says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and be admired in all them that believe, because my word was brought back to you at that end time. So they're gone, and we're glorifying God. Gathered around the throne, gathered around the Lamb, singing praises unto him. That's where we are. The lifting up at the end time. Dear God, we love you. Your word is so foodful. Isn't that nice? Foodful. So full of food. That's what foodful is, full of food. Spiritual food in due season. So full of food. Never was a time when it was full. All tables are full of vomit. And the bride's got her own table amongst all the vomit eaters, the gainsayers, the naysayers. Where's that? And you call them nattering nabobs of politics. These are the nattering nabobs of religion. Just to steal his phrase that he got from Noonan. Now the bigwigs, they're nattering. They're just nattering. And they got a bunch of natterers. Oh, Clinton's okay. Let him have his White House full of prostitutes and let him have his, you know, Whitewater Gate and everything else. Yeah. No problem. You get us jobs. Money, money, money. Money, money, money. Money, money, money. Love of it. They can't even see the objects, what they're getting anymore, because there's no satisfaction. As one person once said, and I know millions must have said it or thought it, that actually satisfaction is not nearly as great as anticipation. And so when you get what you wanted, it's not too good. You got to have something more. And something more, and something more. One barn wasn't enough. He had to build three barns. He finally got so confused, he mistook his soul for his body. And he said, soul, thou hast much good lay many years, eat, drink, and be merry. And what the soul can't eat and drink and be merry, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking. Your word is so full of food, Lord. We just love it. We live by it, Lord. See? It seems that our capacity is never sufficient. Now, that's one way of putting it. Did he mean there that there's so much word we can't take it? Oh, that's what he meant, all right. There's so much more we want, we don't have the capacity for it. Lord, teach us day by day. See, evermore, give us this water. That's what they said. Evermore, give us this water. He said, no. He said, no. He said, you're missing the point. The water, physical, is not it. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about the word of life that you people are mixed up on. You can never get enough. Out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. But not unless you got the word. We just love to sit at your table around your word. Enjoy the blessings, Lord. When we come together as brothers and sisters who's been blood bought by the Son of God, who is the purchase of your blood. And we come here tonight, Lord. We've dedicated these nights for praying for the sick, according to Scripture. And you said, by the stripes we were healed. It isn't necessary to pray then, only confess our sins. For by your stripes we were, past 10 healed. Oh, what a day of salvation. What a promise by Emmanuel. Now listen, that's for today, not yesterday. That is certainly truth. You said a little while the world won't see me anymore, yet you'll see me. For I personal probound, number one, will be with you, number two, in you, to the end of the world. Now you got to differentiate between the two of them, whether he's with or in. And I can tell you one thing, if he's not in you, you'll never see he's with you. Or you'll find some little hokey thing to put it off. Well, he's with all of us. He's been here all the time. So he's here. So what? Can you imagine people saying that and the fact we just read what Brother Branham said about him being here? Oh, come on. I never said it. This is what I was looking for when I went to the Greek in 1977. And I said, Lord, for the last time, I'm going to look at the Greek because there's no use unless you show me something. Because Brother Branham said, coming and appearing, two different words. I went through it and I saw the word Persia. He's here. That's it. He's appearing. He's here. We even got his picture. What more do people want? No, that's not a picture of God. That's the light that struck the camera that attends God. Because no man can see God and live. The only one that really saw him and talked was the beloved Son, who was a part of God himself, when God began his generations and started his family. That's a different thing entirely, see? So, all right. He said, here, even in you, the end of the world. Now, notice what he's talking about here. He's talking about the fact here that if we would pray, we wouldn't need to even pray, just merely ask, based upon the confession of our sins. Now, he's talking about the end time. Now, you know where that's found? That's found in James, the 5th chapter, is that right? And in verse 16, I think it is here. Pray for another. Lord, he said, right down the line now, confess your faults one another, pray for another, you may be healed. Right on down the line. Now, if you take that 5th chapter, you'll start out with, go to now, you rich man, weep and howl. For your miseries that shall come upon you. In other words, they've started already with their grumbling, their grousing, their hard times, everything that comes by wanting money, more money, because they that rich merely give unto themselves a snare and a hard time, beat themselves down, Paul said. Now the treasure heap up is going to be like fire, and fire is always end time. Now he said, you've kept the higher back of the laborers, and they're doing it. They've got these temporary workers now all set up so the CEOs will enjoy millions and billions of dollars. The concentration of wealth in America, 10% owns what? Over 70% of all the wealth. 70% owns about 10% of it. Very few percentage for anybody. You're never going to get rich in the sense that it's going to do you any good. You could be a millionaire on paper. They're making more millionaires every year. No problem with that. Do what you want. It's Nicolaitan and Laodicean age. Money, money, money everywhere. And all they are is millionaire, paper millionaires. Why? Because they don't have the real McCoy, which is gold. See, now you say, well, my land is valuable. I can transfer it into gold. Not if nobody wants it. Or they want it their price. Remember, America is not the gold standard, but it's the world standard. And we're going to go broke. As I said before, they claim it's not $3 to $5 trillion in debt, is $16 trillion in debt. America has, because they're counting everything, not government, they're counting everything. They're all your credit cards and all your mortgages and everything. You don't own your house. I don't own mine. Nobody owns a house. Because the school board owns it. Well, they took, sure, they went and they borrowed vast sums of money on our homes. So you don't own anything. You don't even own your coat. According to the word, if somebody wants it, you're supposed to give it to them. So, you know, it's a mess. We might as well face reality. It's gone. Enjoy it while you can. If you can eat T-bone steak instead of a fat hog back, but for land's sake, enjoy the T-bone steaks. Said you've lived in pressure, been wanton, that's been filthy, nourished your heart's day of slaughter, condemned and killed the just, who resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, under the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husband wait for the precious fruit of the earth, long patience for it, receives the former and latter rain, the early rain. Be patient, establish your hearts. The coming Lord draweth nigh, presence is here. Grudge not against one that don't have grudges. Behold, the judge stands at the door, the same one in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Take the brethren, my prophets, who spoke in the name of the Lord, example of suffering, affliction, and patience. We count them happy which endure. You heard of Job, how the Lord at the end is tender and merciful. Above all, my brethren, swear not by heaven, by earth, when oath is let it be yea or nay, nay, just lest you fall into temptation. Is any afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing something. That's for the end time. Is any sick among you, let him call. Here is the church, let him pray. Anointing the Lord, name of the Lord, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, Lord, raise up. And if you commit a sin, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one another, and pray one another, and may be healed. So at the end time, what are people supposed to do? Just that. Brother Branham preached the whole end time message. He didn't refer to Mark 16, although he believed in Mark 16. And this is a little bit of Mark 16. But Mark 16 doesn't say for you to go into all the world and tell them to confess their sins and have the elders pray for them. No, he said go into all the world and preach the gospel, these signs fall in and believe in my name, or lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover, speak with new tongues, and scatter serpents, everything else. This is end time message. And Brother Branham is doing it. And he said, now you don't even need to even lay hands on anybody. That's why it should be from now on just a prayer over the whole congregation. We're not Jews, we're Gentiles. James was a Jew. He wrote in kind of a Jewish manner. See, Brother Branham said, 17 years I've tried to get him to stop laying on hands, they won't listen to me. There's nothing wrong with laying on hands of those evil. The thing is, you're gone into a tradition rather than breaking with tradition and going straight to a word. You see? So he said, you get into a new gear here. And you've quoted John 14 and 12, which is William Branham, and right on down the line he said. Now, may every afflicted blind one, every sinner be saved right in their heart now if you're an unbeliever, that they may accept Christ at this moment. Granted, Father. It's all in your hands. We commit ourselves to you to see you come among us. Now, William Branham had to be Paul every inch of the way. And every inch of the way, and I won't have time to read it because our time's gone, is Ephesians, the fourth chapter, when God himself comes down from heaven, anoints the prophet, teaches the prophet, and a fivefold ministry springs up, which is to bring a bride to perfection, and they failed until this moment. That's why Brother Branham talked about a bride being brought to perfection by a fivefold ministry. At the same time, he talked about the blood perfecting the bride. So there's a perfect ministry for a perfect blood-washed bride, a perfect people, a perfection, which means a conclusion. It's all over. And at the end time, we are here. And you better believe we are here. And by the grace of God, I'm a part of that, and you're a part of that. And we're going on to the very end, which is already here, because we are before the white throne. I'll get to that. I think we'll have to come back to it later on. I missed my notes. I wanted to show you absolutely the end time twins, the harvest of the burning. All right, let's rise and be dismissed at this time. We have communion service the first Sunday in November. Whether I'm here or not, I don't know, or can take the service. Yet to be seen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go our way, we know that you are going with us in the form of the Holy Spirit within us. and even in a greater way in the form of that word within us also, because that is your conduit, that is your coating. And we, taking that word that so fruitful, as Brother Branham said, within us, layer upon layer word, building ourselves up in the most holy faith, for which we're very grateful. So now, Lord, at the end time, when all things lie in a state of perversion, and the Son of Man amongst us, we see he has his word fulfilled, that the body of faith, the faith that once for all delivered to the saints, was lacking amongst us until you sent a vindicated prophet. And now that which is perfect has come, the perfect word, at this hour, as Brother Branham told us. So we appreciate that so much, Lord. And may we never, ever look at it as we look in the mirror and then go away and forget, because it is a pretty good thing to forget just a little casual glance in a mirror. But Lord, this is no casual glance. This is life itself. This is eternity. Help us to not disregard that which is real and that which alone is not fleeting, that which alone does not die, never goes into corruption, never, 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 because that is you, Lord, as the prophet said in print. So may we imbibe it, Lord, and you very, be very judiciously put everything to one side, consecrating ourselves truly and wholly for vessels unto the word, unto the Lord, that we may also then come forth in your image. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Take the name.